Do you know what a collection of tiny plays in a sophisticated London West End theatre and an AIDS charity in the depths of West Africa have in common? Surprisingly, quite a lot. And that's since British journalist and playwright Craig Taylor heard about the Loyola Hope Centre in Togo and realised that just three performances of a selection of his plays could raise enough money to make a vital difference to a whole community of people who live in the outskirts of Lomé, where up to 18% of the population is affected by HIV. But let's get back to the story, told by Jed Clapson, communications officer for the British Jesuits, who are also deeply involved.
Well, I think it all goes back to last year when a certain Canadian, whose name was Bob Taylor, he's a Canadian cattle rancher in Saskatchewan, heard about the Loyola Hope Centre in Lomé in West Africa. And he was so impressed by the work that was being done there that he decided to support it. But he's got a nephew whose name is Craig, who's a journalist in London. And from talking to Craig, he made it perfectly clear that his uncle was really encouraging him to do something similar. Now, Craig, as I say, is a journalist, but he's also in the process of writing, well, his target is 1 million tiny plays. And these tiny plays are all based on conversations that he's overheard in London. Some of them mobile phones, people on buses and tube trains and on trains. Others just in the street. So he's been writing these 1 million tiny plays and he wants to stage some of them. He's going to stage up to 72 of them. And the money from staging those is going to go towards the Loyola Hope Centre in Lomé to help the young people who are affected by AIDS either directly or indirectly.
I searched the internet for some of Craig Taylor's plays and read a couple of them. They're very brief. I found them clever and entertaining. But what struck me is that they're so far from Lomé and the AIDS issue in content, mood and setting, and yet so close to the people there because of what they can do. And that's thanks, especially to the work and commitment of the Society of Jesus that makes such miracles happen. I can imagine that even not a lot of money can go a very long way in a place like Lomé.
That's very true. Craig's target is £2,000, which doesn't seem a lot, as you say, but that will pay for 16 training sessions for groups of youth educators who work in an environment of peer-to-peer, or as many as 160 HIV testing and counselling sessions. So that £2,000 can really go a very long way and make a tremendous difference to these people. This is one of the poorest areas of the country, and the rate of HIV there is 18%. So it's very high, particularly among 18 to 25-year-olds. The centres themselves are concentrating on things like not only prevention but also care and advocacy and teaching the young people there how to avoid contracting HIV. And what they've found there as well is part of the strongest initiative has been the peer-to-peer work of actually, once you convince people that it's, you know, there are ways of avoiding HIV and how to go about it, of actually getting them to pass that on to similar people, similar ages and so on. So there's a sort of knock-on effect. But it is, as you say, very serious, and it is something that a relatively small amount of money from a Western point of view can make a heck of a difference.
So the Loyola Hope Centre is just one of the many, many projects set up and run by the Jesuits in their commitment to bring help and support to those affected by HIV/AIDS. I asked Jed if overall things are improving.
The primary role of the Jesuits within this is that they donated 700 square metres for this particular centre to be built, and it's the Loyola Hope Centre, you know, it's named after St Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. And what you will find around the world is that the Jesuits are there in the areas of the greatest need. And certainly in terms of Africa, a country like Togo, a city like Lomé in particular, is that there are the needs, the greatest needs. You come from South Africa, which is part of the British province, where again the Jesuits there are working with people with AIDS, not only those who are directly infected by the virus, but also the orphans of people who've died from AIDS. So yes, this is a tremendous need. This is somewhere where the church, broadly across the world, the Jesuits specifically in areas like Africa, South Africa and Togo, are working there. So, you know, anyone, as you say, people like Craig Taylor, seeing the work that's going on there, recognising the need that's there, seeing that something positive is being done in such a very devastating and negative situation. Anyone can do anything, and if he feels that this is a worthwhile cause, then naturally the Jesuits of Togo would be delighted to receive the donations, which will help to pay for training sessions or counselling sessions. There is a groundswell and a growing opinion that actually says that the primary, best, most effective way of preventing the spread of HIV and AIDS, no matter what anyone else says, is prevention. And part of the educational process that is being done by the church and by the Jesuits is teaching people how to prevent it happening, and that means principally abstinence. The situation is critical. There are so many facets to this. It really is a multi-dimensional situation, all the way through from how do you finance medication, how do you provide antiviral drugs and so on and so forth, what's the relationship between the rich pharmaceutical companies in the West and the poor communities in Africa. And these are the situations, these are the conditions that all who are involved in this work of HIV and AIDS are having to work with. The church, in particular the Jesuits and their ministries, are working in these specific fields in trying to stem the tide, trying to prevent it spreading even further, particularly among these young people who are 18 to 25 years old. There's a tremendous amount of work to be done. It's not going to be solved tomorrow, but each person, each organisation, each group providing their own initiative, hopefully, will hopefully bring it under control and lead to prevention.
Does the government in Togo collaborate, help, have any other programs that may run hand in hand with those that the Jesuit runs?
The many of the governments in Africa are recognizing that education of young people in particular in terms of the risks of infection from sexually transmitted diseases broadly are that is one of the key ways of helping to prevent it. But it's also, it's tied in, as with so many issues in developing countries in places like Africa and Asia as well, with the whole question of equality, of justice, and of poverty. And what you get there is in many African countries, the sense of migrants, of going to certain places to work in order to earn money to support the family, becoming infected while being a migrant, coming back and infecting the wife in those sort of situations. But that is caused by the underlying root of poverty and injustice. And so that's why the whole question of education, of empowerment of women, of working with children, providing health facilities, as well as teaching about the risks of AIDS and how to prevent the spread of HIV, all of these are bigger programs that, yes, where the church is and the Jesuits are working with governments, you've got a much stronger base. But sometimes it's the case that the church and religious orders like the Jesuits are taking the initiative there where others are following.
And just as I looked up and found Craig Taylor's plays on the internet, I looked up the Loyola Hope Centre in Lomé and found photographs of a few simple wooden buildings blending into the African landscape.
Sometimes some of the simplest, most basic of facilities that we in the West would think were very crude actually make a tremendous amount of difference to people whose standards, by our standard, are much lower. What you do find in situations like this, you've got a very basic building with very basic facilities, but you've also got a tremendous energy, a tremendous enthusiasm, a tremendous determination within these communities to build themselves, to actually stock themselves, to, in terms of poverty, not to take a handout, but to actually regenerate their own communities through the work that they're doing there, and that includes HIV prevention and help for people who are directly or indirectly affected by HIV. So I think, that tremendous energy within a community in establishing and building and staffing and improving and developing a centre like this, the Loyola Hope Centre, is tremendously encouraging.